Okay, last session of the afternoon, everyone. I'm pleased to introduce Chris Hahn, who's been a fixture at the University of Texas Annual Labor and Employment Law Conference for many years, always delivers. And on this topic that he's assigned, I dare say no one knows any more than he does, and that is remote work. Chris is senior, and I mean that in the importance aspect, not the age aspect, at Dell Computers. And take it away, Chris.
Thank you. So I'm on the planning committee for this organization, and somehow I always get assigned the spot that's between you and happy hour. And so I'm going to try and keep this short and quick. I do have to apologize in advance for both my paper and the PowerPoint. This area is evolving so much that the paper and the ideas I started on in October after the planning committee changed and then changed again and then changed a third time. So I've updated the paper and the PowerPoints to get some of the most current stuff, which might seem just a little bit disjointed as we go through this. Because in previous versions of this topic, we have talked about what I'm calling now the old remote problem. Is the pandemic opened our eyes to the possibility of remote work. I cannot tell you how many situations I encountered where people said there is no conceivable way this job can be done remotely until it had to be. And then when it was done remotely, people were like, well, you know, the sky did not fall, the world did not stop spinning. We were able to muddle through and get things going. And so we had people leveraging that and saying, you know, it's bloody hot in Texas in the summer, and I'm going to move to Montana and work from my, you know, parents' cabin in Montana. And people said, well, you know, I would prefer to be in the Bay Area. And people moved all over the place and started working. And so the old remote problem we had was being cognizant of the fact that laws vary, that employment law is a particularly local construct, and it can vary from state to state and even from city to city within a state. And Audrey's paper that we had last year was the culmination of a couple of years of analysis of all of the potential landmines out there that could trip you up because you just weren't aware of some of these, in some cases, very counterintuitive laws that were very, very different from what we are commonly dealing with in Texas. And so there were a lot of places where you really needed to dive in to what the differences were in the local area to be able to effectively advise your client. But you could go dig in and learn the law in upstate Montana or the Bay Area and advise your client, right? Well, one of the things we didn't talk about was, can you do that? If you are a Texas lawyer, can you represent a Texas client involving issues for an employment matter in another state? Or if you represent an employee, let's say you've a longstanding representation of employees of, let's call it Lone Star Co., and you get a call from an employee who has an issue with Lone Star Co., and then you find out that they are actually working from another state, are you allowed to represent them? Are you qualified? Are you capable because of all those potential landmines out there? So what do the rules tell us? Well, number one, you should not take on representation except in an emergency situation or if you have local counsel, unless you are competent to provide that quality legal advice. And that means if you're a Texas lawyer and you've been practicing Texas law for a long time, are you competent to advise on the differences and the subtleties and the special provisions of the law in Montana or in California or wherever the issue is arising? I would say that most of us are not familiar with all of the potential intricacies of these other state laws. However, the rules say just because you may not be expert on the law now, if you can become expert on the law, you can meet the competency test under the rules. And if you are an experienced employment lawyer, you'll find that as you get into these other jurisdictions, there are differences, but the differences tend to be on the margins. It's not usually a wholesale fundamental difference. And so you can learn those margins and then become competent. If it is a particularly new or novel area to you where you're going to take a lot of work to get up to speed on it, the comment says that you need to advise your client, that this is going to cost a little bit more because I have to learn the intricacies of this law.